Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, dear friends, good to see you folks lining up on the boards tonight. I want you to know that it's snowing here in Ohio, and I have I had a great day because I got to watch the Packers play the Bears. This is for Derek Gilbert, just in case he listens. We did win today. Though we know that Chicago Bears clobbered the Packers in the past, today was a good day. And so I got out in the woods today to jog and to do my mountain biking jogging exercise that I do, about 5 miles. There again, look at that beautiful snow that was covering some of the greens that were left. Incredible. Great place to talk to God. Great place to see creation pour forth speech about the glory of God, the very divine nature of God. Listen, there was a little doe as I was going, just 10 yards from me. I stopped just to kind of talk to it, and it looked at me. There in its face, that innocence, that incredible, just beauty. Once again, thanking God for the creation. Creation. Hey, everybody, tonight, Joe Jordan's coming up pretty soon. Joe Jordan with MUFON, and there's going to be some incredible things tonight. You are part of a show that I believe there is a supernatural mix. And so many of you that listen in and even write in, or hundreds of you, hundreds and hundreds that download the show during the week. Listen, I know that there are Wiccans and Druids and paranormal researchers and ufologists and maybe even some abductees tonight that are out there that are going to be listening. I got some tremendous news tonight, too. Listen, you know, to the right of me, I know some of you ask me, tonight I don't have French roast coffee tonight. I have some fireside coffee that is brewed by Caribou. My daughter brought in for me tonight. So to my to Kevin, Janice, and Alex, I love you. And I'm just sitting here with some of this incredible coffee. Maybe we'll get together to have some more. And I hope you'll come by on Thanksgiving, because we're gonna do it up. And so we hope I see you then. So many others that are going to be touching in on the show tonight. Again, providential. It'll be absolutely providential in what occurs tonight. So those who know how, pray it up. Saturate everything in prayer. Want to invite also those who do the recon, some of the military folks, and even some of the, you know, the real Luciferians. Maybe even at some point down the road. Remember the book, The Men Who Stared at Goats, and he talked about Colonel Shannon, and I have a sense that Colonel Shannon has been looking into some of our information. Well, at least there in Honolulu, somebody has been downloading a bunch of stuff. And I hope that we can talk. And I want some of you who know how to pray, the providence of God, the hand of God to work, you know, just to move. I pray that that will occur. You know why? Let me tell you why tonight. Just get really, really close to the speaker now. Come on. Get really close. Because there is an incredible love that moves in my heart that says to you, I see your value as a creation of God. And I know that God loves you, and I know that God knows all about you, and I know that God, listen, that he wants you. That it's the will of God to reach out to you and get to you. So I'm just gonna say to everyone right now, listen, whatever spiritual stream you're swimming in, I want to ask you again the question, whether or not you know where the rivers come from, where the river's leading. You ever see one of those movies, you know, where this people are in the lifeboat or on a, you know, I've gone tubing down the river before, you know, and just floating along the way. And all of a sudden you see in the movies that they're getting closer and closer and closer to the falls, you know, where they're going to go over the edge. And here's the difficulty for some individuals, and I challenge you who are open-minded, who are intelligent, to take a look at this. Spiritual streams, if you don't know the source, but you're lapping around in the waters, do you have any idea where it's taking you? Do you have any idea where it's taking you? So it's very important tonight for you to, and I'm encouraging you, check everything out. Ask questions. I've had folks come to me that said, hey, you know, you got to be open-minded. I've had professors do this, and you got to be open-minded. But you know what? They won't even allow questions, or they won't allow themselves to take a look at biblical revelation. How about prophetic revelation, the most amazing, accurate? I mean, we're talking about some of the greatest events in history, prophesied up to 1,000 years in advance, like the resurrection, or the cross, 700 years in advance. Well, let's also talk about the prophecies concerning the end of days. There is going to be an opening of the abyss. There is going to be an antichrist. There is going to be a false prophet. There will be a new world order. There will be incredible events that are global, that impact everybody. And listen, it began as a spiritual war in the heavenlies. It'll end as one. It'll end as one. All around us, there are individuals talking about the spiritual things that they've been involved with. They're experiencing things. And I want to tell you something because of next week's show. Next week's show, sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis. You ever get that feeling? Somebody walks into the room at night, a shadow, a presence. You get all sweaty, your hair stands up. You feel that terror, you close your eyes, you cover your head, and then all of a sudden it's like somebody sits on the bed. The special individual that's going to call in next week to explain their experience with that very thing. Now, it's weird because, again, I think because providentially so many people are experiencing that. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people are talking about this idea of sleep paralysis, a presence coming in, paralyzing you, you can't move. If anybody saw the movie, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, you saw in their version of the idea of that kind of paralysis. Obviously, that show was demonstrating a spiritual, an evil spiritual presence that literally gripped her. The sad thing about the whole true story of Emily Rose is it's an exorcism that was not done right, and there were other things going on. And, well, I know one thing. Jesus never did anything wrong. Now, listen, I don't know who you're putting your trust in tonight, but there is someone who is infinite, flawless. Biblical revelation calls him the Lamb of God. He's without spot, stain. Well, let me ask you again, for those coming from many different streams, why did Jesus Christ die on that cross knowing that he didn't do it for himself? Why did he die? Hey, just a few moments here. We're going to be talking with Joe Jordan, MUFON. We're gonna talk a little bit about some of the strangest things that are occurring. I was reading in a book some time ago called The Dark Side of the Supernatural. And there was a chapter in there about the 72 million believe that UFOs exist, 40-some million believes they've seen something, and so many other millions said that they've been in contact. I mean, we even have somebody named Dan Sherman who wrote a book, I believe it's called Project Preserved Destiny, that involves him being in the National Security Agency, NSA, one of the most secretive and one of the biggest spy agencies in the world, that he was an intuitive. And that through some kind of machinery that they developed, he was to be taking in the information coming to him, or whatever, these extra-dimensional, intelligent life forms were communicating and they were receiving. Listen, does military get that? What about you? What about you? Have you seen something? Have you experienced something? Well, calls, you can call in to ask Joe questions and bring questions to the show tonight from midnight on. Joe will be here in about 5 minutes, and we're going to engage him in some incredible questions that I think, listen, if there are millions of individuals that are believing that we're going to be visited. And listen, my interest in this is that there are very intelligent people like Richard Hoagland and many, many others, Dolan and others, that I have read and did get to meet a little bit, a few of these folks, down in Roswell a few years back. And there are those that want this Discovery Project and other things. They want it all to be disclosed. They want the government to tell us and everything else. What's the reason for the secrecy? Who are these beings? What are they? World over, the Russians, down in Mexico, China, I mean, all over the world, there's... Listen, I know one thing for sure. 2,000 years ago, there is prophecy concerning the most incredible spiritual time in human history. The most incredible spiritual confusion in world history. The most incredible spiritual seduction in human history, unparalleled, unprecedented in the days that we are engaging. Now listen, I was looking over some of the downloads this week from Preemption Broadcast, the sites, and I put all the sites up there for those who are brand new tonight. And listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, the new web newsletter I've already put a link to, and the conference, the Truth Conference, coming December 13th, locally to Mansfield, Ohio, if you can come in. It's about a month away, and there's a web page now with some of the other things that are going to be going on that day, and they've invited me to be a speaker there, and I'm looking forward to that. So I want you to know about some of those events. There's those that write to me, like even today, wish you could do a conference in our area. Well, I'm more than willing. Hey, want to say hello to friends in France that have downloaded. Listen, first time ever, Bangalore, India, and also off the coast area of India, by the Sea of Bengali. There is downloads there. Johannesburg, South Africa again, down in Singapore, and Egypt. So I'm excited to see, again, all over the place, a lot of good friends down in Australia, the UK, and also all through Canada and way, way up there in the frozen tundra of Canada. We have an individual that, I hope to hear from someday soon. Well, listen, we are already about 15 minutes into everything right now, and I want you to hear me when I say that we are glad you're here. You're here by, I believe, Providence. I believe, again, that there are supernatural forces working around your life. One comes from the infinite heavens, and one comes from a very dark, dark, dark pool. Have you ever been visited? Have you ever seen lights in the sky? Have you ever, ever, well, been engaged by extra-dimensional entities? Hey, you know who we have on the phone with us tonight? It is Joe Jordan Mufon. Listen, he is somebody I got the pleasure of talking with earlier today and hearing some and I listened to a talk show that he had done here about a week ago. Well, I listened a week ago. I don't know when it was done. And I got to hear some of the background of his life. But we've got some questions we're going to engage. Let's all say hello to Joe Jordan. Joe, are you there?
I'm there. How are you, bro?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Joe. I just appreciate you being here tonight. This is really new for me because I normally just talk, you know. But I really felt because of my meeting of you years ago, I mean, just a short meeting, I came up to your table, talked to you for a few moments. Primarily, I heard more and more, and then I listened to an interview you did, I believe, with Chris White. Chris is a good guy. And I'm glad you're here because, listen, the world over, millions upon millions of individuals, Americans, millions of dollars are spent in this search for extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional or, you know, what is out there. So let's just first say, you know what, Joe, why don't we do this for anybody brand new tonight that may not know you, and I know there's a few folks that are already on that I've talked to that don't know you. Could you just give us quickly, I know this is off the page, but tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're a part of and what organization you run.
Well, I'm a MUFON State Section Director for Brevard County, Florida, which, in case you're not familiar with that, it's right there located at the Kennedy Space Center. I can watch the space shuttles out my front yard. And matter of fact, I got to watch the one the other night, and it was beautiful. It was a night launch. As a MUFON state section director, I'm in charge of a county or counties. And as in sighting reports come in, they would come to me for my area, and then I would, myself or my investigators, would go out and follow up on sighting investigations. And I've been doing that since 1992 here in Florida. And I'm also the president of CE4 Research Group, CE4 meaning Close Encounter Fourth Kind, which is the abduction phenomenon. And we investigate people who have been involved with the so-called alien abduction experience. And we work with those type of cases. And we're separate from MUFON because MUFON really isn't set up to work with the abduction cases as yet. I know they're working on it, but years ago in 94, I think it was, we founded CE4 and actually started our own work with the abduction experiencers. And that's the two groups that I work with. Also with Alien Resistance, I'm part of that group also. That's another internet website with Guy Malone. And I pretty much handle the investigative side of Alien Resistance and also part of another group, Alien Abduction Crisis Centers of America, which we are a counseling group for people that have gone through this experience.
Man, so you're pretty busy too, right?
Besides my day job.
And listen, calls from all over? You get calls
Absolutely.
From all over. Absolutely.
Emails, calls. I try to work by phone. I can save a lot of time instead of doing emails. I prefer to work by phone when I'm working with experiencers. It's more personal, and we can cover a lot more territory in a lot shorter time.
Great. Well, I tell you what, and again, for those who are listening tonight, and we're going to be getting into the meat of this discussion, eventually, if you may need to contact Joe, I'm putting up on the chat line right now, the link to go and find him and find his website. And I think that it's very important because, again, we're talking about human life. And listen, being deceived is an incredible, I mean, it's horrific when a person can go many years of their life. And I know I did for, many years before, I came kicking and screaming, literally, when it came to be an encounter with God. And I think that some are now calling the theological side of delving into the subject the exotheology. And I like that because I think that biblical revelation, I think that the infinite God has something to be able to communicate about what's going on. And I think for those who are listening, those listening during the week that are downloading, that we're going to engage that discussion. That's not a discussion that a lot of the main book writers and others that are out there are bringing into the equation. And that's concerning me, Joe, more than anything. So here's first question.
Okay.
In general, when it comes to the aliens and or this visitation that's going on and so forth, in general, well, it's kind of like three parts. Who are they? What are they? And most importantly, what do they want?
Are you asking what people perceive them to be or what...
Sure.
I found
yeah, that. I mean, yeah, that, I, yeah, from your experience and what people, you've learned what people are saying and telling and so forth, in a general sense.
Well, what people perceive they are seeing in the abduction experience is what is so-called the alien gray, which is a small creature, can be 3 to 5 feet tall, gray in appearance, large head, spindly arms, and familiar with what the researchers have shown us, they're claiming that they are an extraterrestrial entity. The research that I have done over the past 10 years shows something a little different. As far as what they want, they come with a lot of messages, whether you're dealing with the messages that come through contactees or the abductees, because the abductees also receive messages from these entities during their experience. Contactees are people who have actually had a type of contact with these entities, and it's usually in the sense of either channeling or it's a message that they receive telepathically, but there is a set message that seems to be coming from these entities, and the messages are as such that they are the creators of us, they're coming here to help us, they're here to warn us of Earth changes that are coming about. They want to bring us into the Galactic Brotherhood, the Space Galactic Brotherhood, and these are some of the things that they talk about. But in the research that I have found, I found something a lot more sinister than what we're being shown.
Agreed, Joe. I think that's what concerns me. I dealt with a military individual years ago. They talked about time travel. They discussed a lot of things with me. They talked and gave me details. And matter of fact, they even brought me some stuff, including a card that gave a description of the allowability of lethal force if you come onto the grounds of Area 51. And throughout the 90s, we've seen the X-Files, all the other things. We've seen, I've yet to hear an incredibly good story by an abductee. In other words, they were abducted, they were given a steak dinner, they were given $10,000 in cash and was given a new car and dropped off. How's come when we talk about the message, and I heard you talk about this, this is very important because I think tracking the messages that individuals are claiming they're hearing can tell you a lot about the character of what's behind. And again, just for everybody listening, some of the messages, if you can sum up, from your experience of what individuals have told you, they're saying, the message is they want to help us. You said that they're telling us about Earth changes and things like that.
And they're here to save us. They're coming as our saviors, but they want to condition us. They want to be able to bring us up in our evolutionary scale, so they say, to bring us into the Galactic Brotherhood. The only thing is, it's really confusing about all of this, is if you go to any of these UFO conferences and you take a chance to walk around in the vendor area and you see the people with all the tables, you will hear a dozen or more different messages coming from these entities. And that's a red flag that goes up, because there's no consensus of being one message coming from the extraterrestrials. It's a confusing message. It's different messages coming from different sources. And you would think that they would all have the same message. If they were here to help us, they would all be saying that. Or, and the source of it can't be traced back on where these messages come from. So it's very confusing when you actually get into the message part of it.
Absolutely. And you've heard of Dan Sherman before, correct?
Yes.
The NSA guy, and I read that he talked about being an intuitive, and that they had some kind of machinery that they've developed to where they can receive from that side extra or whatever intelligent life forms are communicating, but he mentioned how he wasn't permitted to be critical. He wasn't allowed to ask them questions. He was just supposed to be passive and to receive the messages to be able to communicate them. And again, here's a guy that has got a book out and has been out. Listen, this is the NSA. So when you have dealt with individual abductees, we're going to get to the military side of that pretty soon. Does it seem to you that when they receive the messages, there's a passivity involved?
It's more of a control that's going on, and it seems to be, one-sided. The entities seem to be taking control of the situation. There seems to be a major conditioning going on with the experiencer themselves, and hence the traumatic experience that these people go through. But the traumatic experience is often followed by an experience where either a different entity comes in or the message changes dealing from the original experience that they had. In other words, they're traumatic in the beginning, but then they become to where they want to soothe you and tell you that you've been through this experience for a higher purpose. And if you look at that real closely, it's a lot of like what you see on a television show where you're dealing with cops. In other words, you're looking at good cop, bad cop. But when it gets down to the actual purpose and the message behind what the entities are doing, you're actually dealing with the same cop, which is very dangerous. It's a mind conditioning. It's almost like mind control. And Donna Higbee talked about this, abductee brainwashing, in an article that she did. And we're seeing a lot of that. And this is something that has to be very concerning to us researchers when we're dealing with these experiencers, because their thought system has been changed. Their perceptions have been changed through the experience. And this is part of how it's revealing on who we're dealing with.
It is, and again, as we talk about this, Joe, you and I are assuming that these individuals have had a real experience. And that's what I think that millions of others who have not had this experience wonder about. They hear the stories. Even here locally, TV now even puts up, like in Cleveland, Ohio, oh, they showed these lights. They absolutely had no idea what they were. And so, again, the speculation comes up. But the abductees clearly have been engaged. They've experienced something. Obviously, it alters their life. That's why I want to get in tonight about the nature of these beings. When we say, who are they? What are they? You've clearly said about the message element. But let's go to the second question. There are millions that believe in UFOs, United States, world over. And I think everybody knows that at this point. The issue is now, among leaders and book authors, some of which, you know, I met down in Roswell, you know of a number. I mean, I've read their books, even Richard's, Hoagland's latest book. Reading these materials and seeing their reporting on it. But what I guess I saw down at Roswell, and what I'm seeing in a lot of the books, and very intelligent individuals as far as information, what's the prevailing spiritual, you know, like belief system among a lot of these people, a lot of these leaders and book authors?
Well, I'd say there were two different ones that we see. And if you're dealing with the very strict nuts and bolts type researchers, you're dealing with secular humanists in most of the situations. When you get into the other fringe areas of the UFO phenomenon and the research that's done there and speaking with a lot of the so-called channelers where they get messages, you're dealing with people who are very deeply involved in the metaphysical and New Age belief system. And it seems kind of strange that the two would go together, but if you ever go to a UFO conference, you see a mix of both. I've never been to a UFO conference where it's either been strictly scientific or strictly New Age or UFO, you know, in its thought pattern. I even had an opportunity in 2005 to go to the MUFON symposium. You know, I've been with MUFON since 92, and I finally made it to one of their international symposiums. It was out in Denver, and I expected it to be very nuts and bolts scientific, you know, format. But when you get there, it was pretty much like a circus, like a lot of these UFO conferences are, with all the bizarre stuff that's comes along with the whole scene of the UFO phenomenon. So it's a definite mix. The one thing that we're not seeing involved with it until just the past few years is Christian researchers coming into the realm. And we do get a lot of flack coming into this UFO phenomenon because there seems to be a bias to what you're allowed to believe in when you're dealing with UFOs. They don't seem to be very open to the Christian perspective on coming into this and looking at it, even as researchers, even as honest researchers coming in and looking at this. When you tell them you're a Christian, they seem that you're taking this one-sided, you know, you're not open-minded. But just to let your listeners know, when I first came into the UFO, the UFO phenomenon as a researcher, I came in as an agnostic. And I wanted to look at this from the scientific point of view. But as I opened myself up and looked at the phenomenon as a whole and saw that there was a New Age perspective to it or metaphysical perspective to it, I also became involved with that. And I spent quite a few years looking at this phenomenon from that perspective. And then it was years later that I actually became a Christian myself. So I've had the opportunity to look at this phenomenon from three different separate perspectives. But when you try to put us all together, it's like the Christians aren't really welcome in this field.
And you know, that alone, again, spiritually, it tells me something. What I saw down in Roswell when I was there, and even locally here, the Theosophical Society was having a man that said he had been a researcher for 40 years. And I went to that group just to listen to what he had to say. Now, Joe, I went to the man after he did his two-hour, you know, long session there at that Theosophical Society, and I went up to him afterwards. And I'm glad you mentioned concerning the church and getting perspectives, and maybe you'll be glad to know that even on our teams for the last 6-7 years, we on our prayer mapping pages, we have one that's called exotheology, to where we have thrust in prayer and intercession and seeking the Lord to give, you know, discernment and insight and exposure to all of it. And I think that has to be done. Yet, being a pastor 30 years in the past, four churches, and knowing many pastors, I've never heard a message. Don't know if there's ever been any kind of church seminar in you know, engagement. When we've got millions and millions believing in them, millions that said they've seen something, and millions across the globe that have said that there's been some kind of contact. Gosh, what do we say to the church?
Well, this is our biggest task. And our message to the church is that we're dealing with a major deception. This is what we believe this is a major deception, possibly part of the actual end time delusion that is spoken about in Scripture. We're not dealing with elves and fairies anymore. We're dealing with a deception that's taken on a guise that's more acceptable to society today. And that seems to be the alien phenomenon. And we're trying to get that message across to the church. We've been working in this field with the UFO people for quite some time now. We're reaching them slowly. We made a major opportunity to reach them this year at the Roswell 2008 conference. We really dropped a bomb there on them. But the church itself has got to come on board to help us out, because we're seeing that there's possibly, through the polls that they've taken over the years, they estimate possibly 5 to 10 million people have had this experience. And they are traumatized by it. Their lives are destroyed by it. Family lives are split up and destroyed by it. We've seen this dealing with the experiencers themselves. And there has to be a hope for these people. And the one thing that we've been able to offer in this field that nobody else has offered is hope. There is a hope that you can overcome this experience and actually move on and gain your life back. But trying to share this with the church has been tough. It's something new. I mean, it's okay that you could come into a church and say, I'm an alcoholic, I need help, I'm a prostitute, I need help, you know, I'm a gambler, I need help. But this particular issue doesn't seem to be readily accepted. And it's something that we're trying to share with them. We've done the work, and the work is free for them to take and use. Let's just help these people. That's what we're about. And that's something that we're not seeing in the UFO realm, is helping these people. The only thing they can offer are so-called alien support groups, alien abduction support groups, where they sit around and share their stories, but there's no healing involved, you know. They want to teach you to learn to live with the experience. Well, who wants to live with something like that? They want to be able to overcome it. And that's something that we've been working on.
Well, and I think that, you know, again, dealing with the churches and knowing how, you know, I've been in, you know, gosh, involved pastorally all those years, it is true. All these individuals come in for different kinds of help, and there's a lot of specialized programs in a local church. But an individual walking in or coming forward in a church at a testimony service to say, I was abducted, or this experience occurred, what do I do with it? And again, I think silence would fall. And I don't think that comes from God Himself. I don't think that comes from the biblical revelation as far as what even God's words would be able to communicate and say. I think that's what we need to cut through. Because to me, like I was mentioning earlier, at the Theosophical Society, a man told all the story about 40 years searching and so forth. After the whole thing was over, I went up to him immediately. I asked him, I said, listen, sir, after 40 years, have you met them? Have you engaged them? Have you talked to them? And Joe, the sad thing was, I mean, I could see the sadness in his face. He He says, no, I never have, and I don't believe in my lifetime I will. And I looked at him and I said, well, then what's the point in this? I mean, 40 years you've searched. Then what's the point? He says, well, the big point, more important, is our spirituality and our spiritual search. And I looked right at him and I said, well, then can you tell me, sir, have you found God in the midst of this search? And he shook his head no. And I don't know if, as far as my reading and as far as what I've understood, I'm not seeing any of these entities communicate a good message coming from God. It seems like God's been extracted from the entire equation. I'm not seeing them. I see this avoidance.
Well,
and
it's
then,
actually
like,
more than that.
Okay.
It's more than that. Even the messages that come from these entities always seems to be an anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible message. It's always that, even if we're dealing with a Christian, it's had this experience. The message is what you've been believing is wrong. You know, you've been deceived on what you've been believing in. It's always an anti-God message. And that is a red flag that must be looked at when you're dealing with this phenomenon and you're dealing with the messages coming from these entities. We do not have a craft that we can put our hands on after 40 years of research. We don't have any real physical evidence that we can say this is a smoking gun that proves that this is extraterrestrial. So if you don't have the evidence, you don't have the craft, you don't have a being, then the one thing we do have to rely on as evidence is the message itself. And that's where you have to look at, and the message is always anti-God. Why is it anti-God? Why is it anti-Christ? Why is it anti-Bible? With all the different isms in the world today, why did they come all the way across the galaxy to come after just one? That is a question that must be answered. Why is it just the one particular religion that they come after when none of the other ones agree with anything between themselves except that they are anti-Christ? That's something that must be looked at.
I think that is something that has to be looked at. Again, if an individual is being spiritual, and again, tonight, just for those who are adding on, I'm watching the boards and more folks are coming on, and during the week, hundreds of others will download. So we want to say again, this is we're talking tonight with Joe Jordan, and we've connected and linked both on our front sites, the newsletter, and tonight we've already added into the chat room his link to his site. We're discussing tonight extra-dimensional beings, intelligent life. We find out that there's experiences, communication. I guess, you know, in all of this, I look at it too as there's a real terror in the experiences. I was, again, at the Theosophical Society, you know, kind of an evangelistic visit. And there was a man named Michael. He was said to have written some books, and so he was going to channel an alien presence. So sitting next to me was a Satanist, and the other side of me there were other people, and I'm in this packed little room. And Joe, I'm just simply waiting for the opportunity to engage whatever this thing's going to be. So I listened to this man talk about how, as you mentioned, these grays came, and he began to talk about the sheer terror. I mean, he used language. He was afraid of these things. He had no control of when they came. There's certain indicators that they were going to show up. And I went back, you know, a year or so later, and I actually asked the leadership of that group where this man would be. I want to go visit him. And they said, well, we're very sorry to inform you that he is in Pennsylvania in a psych ward, that he had a breakdown and he hasn't come out yet. Joe, are we seeing that level of damage to people?
I think you're seeing more than that. I think you're seeing people whose lives are utterly destroyed, and I think that some of them would go to that level not knowing where to go for help, and that's something that we've been able to do in this field of research and in this phenomenon. There was actually a researcher at one of our conferences we had where he talked about the damages that have been done to people who had experiences with these entities. And it was quite frightening to see some of the reports out there that you don't normally see, but there's been actual death involved. Actually, there's through the CE4 classifications. CE5, by the way, is permanent damage or death. And so to have that classification, that means there has been some. So there is that possibility that people can be taken to that level. And it's a scary thought. And suicide is even one that people have considered. I've dealt with cases where, you know, people were actually on that verge. You know, they were looking for help, and there was nobody there to help them. And then luckily we were in this field where we can actually offer a hope for people.
Well, I think that's the important thing right there, because even locally, and Joe, we pray to run into just all kinds of individuals that do have difficulties and do have supernatural experiences and voices and things that are happening to them, because I think there's a difference between, and this is something I've really tried to pump out a lot lately too, is there's a difference between the finite and the infinite. God being infinite, immeasurable, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. When we look at the attributes of God and then try to, out of all the clutter of information, reports, one thing I've noticed about the so-called crafts and ships and aliens and Pleiadians and all the rest of them, they're clearly finite. They have to fly in ships. They can't be everywhere at once. And part of the issue here is that there are very, again, intelligent people that I've read in the military and other places that are saying, hey, this might be the super race or the intelligent designers of the human race that literally seeded the earth and made us and created us and brought us here. If that's true, now here's what I did, and I don't, Joe, you'll have to probably comment on this. When I was at the Theosophical Society, at the end of the thing, towards the end, I asked they had a question time, so I finally said, when they were talking about all the abductees and experiences, and even people there were saying, well, I was abducted or an alien visited my bedroom and so forth. My question then was, listen, I just simply said, listen, if these beings are here and they're doing what you're saying they're doing, and they actually created the human race and left us in the mess, and they say they want to help us, but where's the help? Can we start now, instead of using God's name in vain, can we start using the aliens' names in vain? And there
That's
was
good.
Total silence. I mean, the whole room was in total silence, and then there was a nervous grin and a soft little nervous laughter, almost as if there was a moment of realization that no matter what, these beings are in no way, there's no comparison. They're finite. It's like a carrot on a stick, running after that carrot forever and never getting to it, never finding out who they are.
Absolutely. And that's the search for enlightenment that you hear about people in the New Age and the metaphysical realm talking about that they're on. I've been there. I've been part of that. And that search for enlightenment is actually that carrot hanging out there in front of you, and you're constantly trying to reach it. But you never can. There's always something new coming around the corner. And it's just one more thing after one more thing after one more thing, and you never actually reach what they call enlightenment. True enlightenment comes through Jesus Christ. That's finite answer. And that's something that we have found in our work with these experiencers, is once they come to know Jesus Christ, who is the truth, then they understand that they have been deceived in this experience, and the truth comes out in its fullest, and then these people can be set free.
I think that's important right now for individuals to hear too. Now let me play the alien advocate. Down in Roswell, I listened to individuals talk, and we tried to engage a number and had discussions. And Joe, some have said that Jesus is the ultimate alien. He's the head of the Galactic Federation, that Jesus is just an alien like these things. What do you say?
Well, what's our standard on that? As a Christian believer, we have what is called the Word of God. We have the spoken word of Jesus Christ in that Word of God. And in that Word, it tells us who Jesus is. Jesus tells you who he is. And that's our standard to go by. And how can we trust that standard? Because this is an issue I had when I first came out of the New Age and metaphysical realm. And I was shown the truth on what this experience was about. And God said, you take this message back to the where you came from. And I said, God, I can't take the word of God back to these people. They don't believe it. They don't trust it. And that's when I was given the work that I do today to be able to take back to them the evidence itself. Because the message in the Word of God tells you that he is God in the flesh. And if you look at what the Word of God talks about from the beginning to the end, he tells the whole story of where all of humanity is going. And he prophesies in the Bible, and every prophecy has completely come true. Where if you look at the messages and the prophecies that have come from the entities themselves, they never come true. Or if they do, it's a percentage that's so minute. And I know there's people out there that are trusting mediums and going to seances and getting their fortune told and all of that, looking for what's the next thing coming in their life. None of those are 100%. If you're lucky, if they even reach 30% in accuracy of what they're telling you on being able to foretell the future. Where the future being foretold in the Word of God has always come true 100%. Just dealing with this, you know, the life of Christ himself, you know, there were over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament of Christ himself that was to come. Every one of those was fulfilled to the T. So if you're going to trust somebody, then there's somebody you can trust, somebody that's 100%. And that right there creates our standard for what we look at, what we're dealing with. Does it fit the standard? If it doesn't fit the standard, then I would question what you're dealing with.
Right, and I think that, again, a lot of those involved, you know, there needs to be a strong questioning, because when's the last time the aliens walked among us, fed humanity, raised the dead, cared for individuals, revealed, I mean, here's Jesus, as you just mentioned, God in human flesh, showing himself to everybody. He's out in the public talking. So this is not the same carrot and the stick thing. This is not some elusive, we got to spot him in the sky, there's a shadow over here, there's a voice over here, there's lights over there. This is sheer revelation. I mean, kind of not just in your face, but plain, clear, right there. Obviously, anybody reading the Gospels could see how there was, I mean, individuals, religious individuals came and questioned him, and he answered, and he demonstrated miracles right in front of them. And then he also dealt with, extra-dimensional entities. And Jesus revealed these fallen spirits, finite spirits. He called them either unclean spirits or demons. Now, Joe, when it comes to the terms extraterrestrial, meaning they come from actually a physical planet and they're coming in some kind of physical ship, or extra-dimensional, what would you say in all your research? First of all, maybe, what do most of the researchers who are into it believe? What do you then believe? Is it extraterrestrial or is it extra-dimensional?
Well, this is an interesting question, because for many years, the top researchers in the UFO realm have always classified ET as being an extraterrestrial biological entity. But what was fascinating, I mean absolutely fascinating, was at this 2008 Roswell UFO conference that I was the director of this year. I sat and listened to all of these researchers that I invited to this conference, and my talk was on the last day, so I had a chance to listen to where they were going with their talks. It was fascinating, after all of these years of the research, some of the top researchers in the world that I had at this conference, they were all giving us that question in their talks. Is this really an extraterrestrial biological entity? Because they were already questioning in their research, could this be something else? Could this be other dimensional that we're dealing with here? And this is coming from the secular researchers. And in my research, what I have found is this is what we're dealing with, is an extra-dimensional being, a being that has the ability to be in another dimension where they exist, but they can manifest into ours. Now, some of us have heard that before. What entities that we know of in our teaching that have been able to do that? Well, we have to look at it biblically, and biblically it shows us that angels have that ability, that they come from another realm, but they can manifest into the physical realm. There's many examples in the Christian Bible that show that. And these angels that manifested physically, some of them actually ate. You know, they were able to walk around. People mistook them for other people. So the ability that they have is fantastic to actually walk among us and to be able to move from place to place. These are the same type of things that we're seeing with the so-called ET in the abduction experience. So what we're looking at here, what I believe in our research that we have found, that what we're dealing with is an angelic being, a fallen angelic being, because they have the same abilities as God's angels, but their purpose is not for God.
Man, I think that, and we're going to come to the point where we talk about what you did. And again, for everybody listening, and again, I'm seeing brand new individuals coming on the boards here. My name is Russ Dizdar. We work with organization Shadow of the Darkness. You can take a look at that, shadowthedarkness.net on the web. But we are right now talking with Joe Jordan. And I think that, again, this last year in Roswell, it was the 50th year anniversary, correct?
This year was the 61st.
Oh, 61st, okay. I knew there was some kind of – didn't a city get involved this year or back it? Wasn't it different, though, or something?
The city's involved every year.
Okay.
They are in charge of the Roswell UFO Festival. And this year they actually let me manage and put on the conference that goes along with that festival. Last year at the famous 60th anniversary, which was absolutely huge, Guy Malone was the director of that conference for the city for that one.
Okay. And again, tonight, many probably that have been there in Roswell, some that I met, you know, years ago, they would be kind of coast to coasters listening to, you know, people like Art Bell. And by the way, Joe, tonight we're competing tonight, Joe. We're competing with George Norrie is on television tonight for the first time, 11 o'clock a.m. I'm sure that he's got a larger audience. But here we look at millions and millions of people drawn to the television show now with George Norrie, let alone the radio coast-to-coast stuff. And it always tells me something that there's just so many people not only seeking, but so many massive different experiences. Like some of them said, they're going to be searching all of their life, and they're going to be looking, and some of them have the idea they'll never find what they're looking for. And this is where the message that you bring to the abductees and the others, this is the message that, again, book writers and ufologists that are out there, I mean, if they're really on the cutting edge, then the door has to be open where is God in all of this equation? If the aliens really are here, my other question is, if there's a master race, which we can define very clearly, that they're finite, they're not the infinite, you know, uncreated creator. So the question would be, if these aliens are here, who made them?
Exactly.
Who made them? The Catholic Church came out just lately about saying that, you know, if aliens showed up, because there's a lot of people out there that believe that if aliens show up, the, you know, Christian and religion, you know, couldn't handle it. And now the Catholic Church has just come out, one of their theologians, saying that it would be somewhat compatible. It's okay. It wouldn't go contrary to Christian belief if aliens actually landed and showed up. What do you think?
Well, I think it goes absolutely to contrary to Christian belief, especially when you find out exactly who we're dealing with. And our research has shown us what we believe is who we're actually dealing with. And it goes against what we talk about in Christian scripture. These entities cannot be trusted. They are deceivers. They are liars. And they're here with a purpose to bring us away from the one true God. Because in every instance that we look at these experiencers' lives, it always leads in the end run when they start looking for answers. It always leads them into the New Age metaphysical realm. We're hoping we can change that, because if we can educate the church on what we have found here, that now the church could come on board and would be able to show these people an alternative to what they have been dealing with. This is something that hasn't been allowed in the UFO realm for all these years, is the Christian perspective on this. We've had a couple of people that have tried to bring this into the Christian realm. Guy Malone's done a great job with his Ancient of Days conferences down in Roswell. But it wasn't until this year that we actually had a major stance by being in charge of the Roswell UFO conference and actually getting everybody's attention to where we could actually give our talk and give the research that we have and give the evidence to what this actually is. So we now have the UFO field's attention for the first time in these 40 years that we've been looking into this, you know, as researchers.
And that's what we're going to, you know, have you answer here in a moment concerning the Roswell bomb that was dropped, as you mentioned, this summer. But real quick, concerning, now listen, everybody, Joe has worked with individuals who are experiencers. They know that something engaged them, something touched them, something spoke to them. They feel they were abducted. They feel they were, you know, out of control or under control. So question to Joe Jordan tonight is, with all the individuals you've dealt with on this, do the entities stay with these individuals, in these individuals, or do they just kind of show up and then leave?
Most of the time it's show up and leave. I think there is a possibility where you get to a point, where, especially when we're dealing with channelers, where these entities will stay with the people. And that is another category of what we're dealing with here, but it can go to that level where you actually almost come to the point of possession, should I say. But most of the time, it's an influence. What they seem to be doing is influencing what we believe and our foundation of thinking, and that's part of the brainwashing that's involved with this phenomenon.
Exactly. And in some of the cases, have you ever met, like, for example, the alien presence or entity that's still with or in a person, that have you ever heard it speak through them? Or, and again, for me, I'm talking about, you know, demonization, the idea of demonization.
Yes, and that would be like the channelers. I actually used to follow a channeler when I was in the New Age myself. Very powerful woman, and she would actually have sessions where people could come and listen to the messages that were coming through her. And it was quite fantastic. Her appearance would change, her personality would change, the voice would be different, and there would be just a continuous message coming out. You know, it's always peace and love and things to come and things to be aware of, but nothing ever came true. But I actually saw that there was something that was controlling her when she went into those states of her channeling.
Interesting. So when you observed that, did it look like it came from within or from without? Did it, the voice definitely sounded different, correct?
Yes. I believe that what we're dealing with there is something that's coming from within her. Where when you're looking at the abduction experience, it's something that's external.
Okay. And in most of the things I've read, as far as from the writers that are involved and so forth, they can put up, they can lock their doors, they can, put up anything security around their house. But again, in a human perspective, they can't stop. You can do a ring of salt around their house, but none of those things seem to work. You know of something that absolutely works to bring freedom from these invasions, wisdom, to bring really ultimate protection. And you've said it already, Jesus Christ. And
absolutely.
It seems as though these entities, do they fear that name?
Yes, they do. There's been some cases where they'll even test the person that's using that name or that authority of that name. But in the end, that these entities will leave with that name. We've actually had case upon case upon case where the people have called out in the name and authority of Jesus Christ during a traumatic experience, and the experience abruptly ends. I mean, it's immediate. It immediately stops. The one thing that we do see, though, and it's part of the research that we're working on, part of the counseling that we do to bring people completely free of all of this, is being able to stop the experience from happening anymore after that. And that's something that we've also been successful in helping people.
That's where we're going to come to here, because we're about halfway through the show right now, and we're after midnight, and so we're going to permit folks to call in if they'd like to, 347-945-6757. And I know that we might have a guest that you're having call in tonight and has been through one of these experiences. Before we get right to that, though, Joe, what'd you do in Roswell? What'd you do to get some of the folks upset? I talking to Joe earlier, he told me of one person, and this person I saw tried to talk with back in 2004 down in Roswell. They're from Italy. I don't need to say the name unless Joe wants to, but I guess this individual told Joe that in their country, after Joe's going to tell you what he shared there in Roswell among all these researchers, you're talking like the epicenter of all these guys and all these women, reporters, researchers, and then Joe releases this incredible, and I'm going to let him do it and say it, bomb, literally, to them. And just one of the stories he told me, though, today was that one individual said, hey, if you would try to share that, you wouldn't be allowed. You wouldn't be allowed to share that in their country, which would be Italy. Joe, what'd you do? Tell us what you did in Roswell.
Well, my partner Dave Rufino and I from Delusion Resistance, we shared the talk together, and what we did was we set up the talk as a mock trial, and we put the ET entity on trial in our talk. And of course, the ET entity doesn't show up to court, so we just have to use what evidence we have against him, and which is circumstantial evidence. The whole field is circumstantial evidence. And we took researcher after researcher after researcher examples of what they have found over the years of their research, showing that this is other dimensional, and they don't seem to be the extraterrestrial biological entity that everybody thinks it is. And of course, I had the whole conference of speakers that have already hinted on that it could be something else than biological entities that we're dealing with. So that was a help leading into our talk. But we used the evidence of the researchers themselves, their findings themselves, that they were seeing that there's something else going on here. You know, Jack Vallée, for instance, if you look at the work that he's done, he actually believes this is something other than a biological entity that we're dealing with. These are other dimensional entities. Whitley Strieber, if you look at the work that he's done in the books that he's written, he's questioning who these entities are. So we were able to take all of the researchers, the famous researchers over the years, and use their words themselves to set up to show that these entities aren't who they say they are. And then we looked at the extraterrestrial message and the message that they've been sharing, the ETs have been sharing over the years, and it all comes down to changing our way of thinking and also being anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christ. But the big bomb itself that we dropped at the end is when I shared with them getting into that was, you know, all these years, all we have are fuzzy pictures of lights in the sky. We have ground traces that we can't verify what they really are. They may seem unusual, but it doesn't point to something extraterrestrial. So there's no smoking gun, should I say, in the UFO field right now. And what I was offering was evidence that the name and authority of Jesus Christ can stop this experience. I've worked with over 300 cases to this day, And I quit counting because they just keep coming in, people asking for help, and we're showing them a way to stop this experience. We are successful in helping them stop this experience by introducing them to the personal relationship with Jesus Christ and claiming that authority that was given to us. I needed to bring the evidence to that stage to show that what I had found is absolutely real. And I had living evidence, living testimony up on that stage. There were 10 of us up there, including Dave Ruffino and myself, who have had these experiences and been set free from these experiences. And so we had the living evidence on stage publicly by name. They weren't afraid to use their names. They came all the way to Roswell. They were from all over the country, even had one from Mexico City. And they came up there to share that, yes, I have done this, and I have been set free from this experience. I am living testimony. And that just absolutely stunned them, because this was in your face. This was real evidence that what I had found in my research was real, that the name and authority of Jesus Christ can stop this experience. They were stunned by this. But the strange thing is by even though I brought the living evidence right to their face, right there where they could reach out and touch them, right there where they could smell them, right there where they could question them themselves, they did not do the questioning. They never questioned any of the evidence I brought up there. They never questioned any of those people with those testimonies. They only went after our religion and our belief system. They never question the evidence. And as honest research, that is a travesty, because they always should question the evidence. And the evidence was there. I brought them there so they could test them themselves. And they never once talked to these people.
And that's the amazing thing. We have a friend, I think it's a friend of yours too, Lynn, has sent in, it says, comment for Joe on this on the Shatter XML. Here's what it says. The interesting thing is that the aliens themselves never seem to tell abductees where they come from and who created them. Further, why have they never ever left one of their kind behind for proof? She's commenting for Joe and questioning is this, where's the beef, so to speak? So as far as proof from that side, they have no conclusive proof of what they are, where they come from, and what they want, correct?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that's the one thing we must look at is where are they coming from? Where's their true source? And the shame is that nobody really asks where they're coming from. You know, the people that become involved in them, the people that become channelers to their messages, they never really test where they're really from or who they really are. You know, that's like somebody coming to your front door and knocking on the door, and you just open the door and ask them right on in. Never ask who they are. You know, of course you wouldn't dare do that. But
right.
This is something that people are doing with this experience, is they're allowing these entities to come in to their lives.
And like I've said before too, Joe, I think that it's like, again, for a lot of the New Age spirituality, it's I think, again, we should say it this way, the ufology, spirituality, to me it's like dancing on razor blades. And people are getting their feet, you know, there's bloody feet out there, and they don't have an answer, they don't know how to save themselves. Even in Whitney Strieber's novel thing he just put out with Aliens in 2012, it's all about this evil attack destroying people. And again, no answer, no conclusion, no ultimate indestructible immortality that Jesus Christ himself offers and gives, and gives clear information. Now listen, I think we have a friend on the phone. Who do we have now on the phone with us?
Hi, this is Joyce.
Joyce, how you doing? I think you're the friend that Joe was telling me about, correct?
Yeah, I was just waiting.
That's great. That's great. Well, I saw you up there. I didn't want you to wait too long. Joe,
that's
you know
okay.
Joyce, and I'm gonna tonight is because I think that the experiencers of this phenomenon that have gone through, and again, I've seen some of them, but some that have never come to the final answer, and I think that, Joyce, you have, and I think that Joe has seen a number of individuals that have. There is an answer. The Christ that the prophets spoke about, that the elect angels of God worshipped and talked about, that the apostles talked about, whom the demons feared, Jesus Christ not only has the authority, but the final answer and freedom, as we're saying tonight. And so instead of leaving people out in this conspiracy confusion, you now, Joyce, have an answer.
Right, and that's him. Jesus is the answer.
There you go. Joe, why don't you go ahead and...
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Joyce was one of the living testimonies I had on that stage in Roswell. And Joyce was there for people to see her, to talk to her, to actually test the evidence. She was one of those people. Joyce and her family have actually been through this type of experience. Joyce and her family have been on a TV show that was aired, that's aired by A&E Channel, that repeats every single year about their experiences. It's not just Joyce and her husband, but her daughter, and they've actually seen signs of it affecting the grandchildren. And you see the same story shown every year about abductees, and their family is featured in that. They're from White Plains, Missouri.
And West Plains,
Jeff. West Plains, Missouri. But the one thing that people don't know is that Joyce has been set free from this experience. They don't have the whole story. They keep airing that show, but they don't have the whole story. And I had the opportunity to meet Joyce here in Florida and work with her, and actually led Joyce to Christ in my own living room after working with her. And Joyce has been set free from this experience. And Joyce is that evidence that I brought that nobody would question. And if your listeners would like to talk to her, they're there. She's here to be talked to, you know, to ask questions to. But Joyce, how was your life before you were set free?
Very scary sometimes. I was always afraid at night, scared of the dark even. Like to leave the lights on. The only place I ever really felt safe was at work, because they never bothered me there. It was always at home. So I always felt safe at work. But now, are you kidding me? I love being at home. I'm not afraid anymore. I don't have to sleep with the lights on. I'm free. It's awesome. And
this
for the first time...
also affected your family and relationship with your family also, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It split my family up. It was terrible. It was really terrible.
And that's why I met you in Florida.
Yes. I left my husband and my kids, and I went to Florida. I wanted the truth. I was seeking the truth. I really was. And I had the voice come to me, and it told me that I didn't belong with these people, and I didn't understand what that meant, and didn't for many years actually understand what that meant. But the whole thing led me there, and it took me a while to find Joe. It took me a while, and at first I didn't want to believe what he had to tell me. But it didn't take but just a little while after that I knew what he said was true. And it changed. Everything in my life changed. I am back with my family now. My family is together. My kids are doing well. And as far as I know, they've not had any other experiences either. As far as I know, my husband hasn't had any more experiences. I've yet to talk to my grandson to see if he's had any, because he was very young when that happened. And he's now 16 years old. And I'm a little leery about approaching the subject with him right now. I think I just want to leave it alone. I can watch him. I can tell. I'll know if it happened. I just don't
believe
it will. So
you are living evidence that the name and authority of Jesus Christ can stop this experience. Not only once, but stop it from happening anymore in your life. Right?
It has not happened again. It hasn't. I stopped them that one night when I lived in Cocoa Village. And I knew they were coming because it had happened so often. I always knew when they were coming. I could tell the dread, the fear. And so I always knew. And I knew that night that they were coming. And it was about, I don't know, maybe a month or so after I accepted Christ. And it was really hard for me to find my voice, to be able to speak. But once I spoke, I saw him like he was trying to morph through the wall, come through the wall. And I finally found my voice. And I cried out for Jesus to save. And that being stopped. And he looked at me. And I said it again. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, I just come to check on you." And I said, "No, never again. And it's never happened again. I won't let it. I can stop it. And I know it. And I know how to do it. And I will do it. They don't control me anymore."
Now, Joyce, that's the message that needs to be unleashed again to the millions that are being drawn in. You know the old phrase, curiosity kills the cat? There's a spiritual curiosity that the dark side brings to people, and this massive field of alienology, ufology, you know, abduction phenomenon is out there, and everybody listening, listen, for all those who are listening right now, the hundreds that are listening during the week, some of you probably can make CDs out of this to be able to give to individuals, because you just heard somebody who's experienced the kind of terror and fear that these entities bring, but that they responded to the authority of Jesus. You know who Jesus is, folks? He's the Savior. John the Baptist cried it out. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Savior of the world. And he comes with authority. The angels of God worshipped him, but the dark spiritual entities trembled and feared him. Joyce, somebody writes in on the chat board here, how did Joyce get involved in the beginning? How did you get involved in the beginning with these things?
Wow, that goes way back to my childhood. Way back to second grade, even. I can remember missing time at school. And then again, I remember when I was 12 and being taken. But that's when I gave permission. See, I see a lot of abductees who understand what they're going through, I really do. They want to stop it, and they don't know how. But I do believe, at least in my case, and maybe a few others, but in my case, I gave them permission. I didn't realize that I had done that until many years later. But when I was 12 and he held my hand, and he told me he was my friend, and I believed him. And he said he would always be with me. And he asked me if that was okay. And I said yes, that it was okay. But I didn't realize at that point what I had done. And so he made my life living hell for 30 years. And not just mine, but my children's.
And that's an important part I want to bring up there, Russ, is something we find when I'm working with these experiencers. There's one of three ways that this experience happens to people. One, that you openly ask for it, and you're thinking, well, would people do that? Well, absolutely, because I've been at these UFO conferences, and people come to our tables, and they said, I want to experience that so I can see it for myself. Be very careful what you ask for, because this can happen to you. That's opening a door that you shouldn't open. And then there are people that we find that unknowingly opened a door. This is like Joyce. She unknowingly opened a door. She wasn't aware of what was behind that door. It deceived her what was behind that door. And then the big question that puzzled us for a while, which was number three, was adults coming to us and saying, I've had these experiences since I was a child, and I've talked with Joyce extensively about this, and there's a possibility of an open door prior to Joyce letting them in herself, and that's where the generational comes in, because we see this as a generational cycle in families. The question we do when we're researching that experience or there is to go back and ask them what their parents were like. And we see a lot of ungodly things that were happening in the parents' life. And Scripture tells us that the head of the household has the spiritual covering over that family. And this is coming from the Word of God. If that spiritual covering is not there, then those kids are susceptible to demonic influence and demonic oppression and things like that. That doorway's been opened by the parents, and those kids are susceptible. So we're seeing that happen in a lot of families. So my warning is, if you're an adult and you have children and you are being involved in this phenomenon, you must be careful because your kids are susceptible also. And that's something that I think no parent would want to have happen, you know, actually do that themselves, to have their kids become involved. But it is something that we're seeing that is happening. And it's something I want to make sure that people understand. You've got to get out of this experience. You've got to get away from this phenomenon because it will affect your children.
I don't think people really believe that that happens. I mean, I know that that happens. I know it does. It happened to me. It happened to my kids. But I don't think that there's a lot of people out there that deal with the UFOs and the abductees and all of that. I don't think they believe that. I really don't. Because it took me a long time to realize what had happened and why. And this was partly my fault that this happened to my kids.
Well, this is incredible. You know, listen, when I look at deliverance, Joe, in the Scriptures too, especially in Mark's Gospel chapter 1, folks, and Mark's Gospel chapter 5. See, 2,000 years ago, the Scripture, the Spirit of God, has told us that in the last of the days, there would be unprecedented supernatural, spiritual, you know, interaction. Tremendous interaction that would bring kind of a spiritual confusion. Joe's very clear about the collective message from the so-called aliens is one of distraction, leading you away from God, away from Christ, away from the Bible, and leading you further, really probably, into their use. And here you're now hearing a message about not only Joe telling you, and I would share with you that the authority of Christ, the love of God, the protection that he can bring from these deceiving entities. These entities, biblical revelation tells us, have been around for millennia. They are experts at the ability to morph as an angel of light, as a bright as an entity that is portrayed as an alien. And obviously, I hear, Joyce, I hear in your voice what you've been through. And you know, to hear that and to hear the relief when you talk about Jesus, I have seen that myself. I've listened to the demonic fully manifest in a human being, scream at me, speak through them, but I've seen the authority of Jesus, which is also a compassionate ministry, instantly free them from this experience. And listen, folks. Joyce and Joe Jordan are telling you right now that the answer is found in Jesus Christ, who loves you, who knows you, who wants you, who seeks you, who died on a cross. It was at that cross, the Bible tells us in Colossians 2, that there was a tremendous exposure, a tremendous defeat. Literally, he triumphed over these entities and made a public spectacle by the cross. There's a reason for the cross. Every New Ager, every alienologist and ufologist out there studying, every researcher that may be checking in because Joe's on tonight, then by a supernatural providence of an infinite God, you're hearing a warning, but you're also hearing a message. God loves you and wants to give you truth. And I think that Joe could say this, and I think that Joyce can say this, and I know that I can say this, because I came out of spiritual, you know, numerous streams, including Buddhism, back in the 70s. When I found the living Christ come into my heart and life, I found a deliverance of freedom. And Joyce and Joe, maybe you can say the same thing. I've never had to search for the answer again.
Oh, never.
I've only received, Yeah, and I've only received deeper information from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God. And Joyce, how do you feel? What do you say about that?
I agree. I totally agree. And for the first time in my life, I have such peace. I have peace. My mother used to talk about peace of mind all the time, and it would drive me crazy because I never could understand what she was talking about. But now I understand, because now I have His shalom. He gave that to me.
Sure.
And it is so awesome. He has blessed me so much that it scares me sometimes how much He has totally blessed me.
Sure. Well, and I heard you just mention peace. And
it
I think
is.
That, well, and I think, and, I, and again, I'm, I hear you. I hear you say it. I can hear it in you that you found that peace. Listen, folks, 700 years before Jesus came, there's prophecies about how He would be called the Prince of Peace. Jesus talks about in the Gospel, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. If you want a peace that comes down from the infinite, living, relational God, it is found in Jesus Christ. Joe's telling you that. Joyce is telling you that. And you know, we've told you. We can talk about it, you know, all the conspiracy we want to, but the bottom line is, God knows you, God loves you, God is seeking you, God wants you. And listen, you can come to Jesus tonight. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, even during the week, hundreds of you that download, you can come to the living Christ. The Word of God clearly says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. That means He comes into your life. That means He forgives all sin. That means the Prince of Peace comes into your life, gives you the gift of eternal life, gives you the peace that flows from heaven and not from some channeler, not from some rock, not from some crystal, and definitely. I've never seen any abductee story where they're just flowing in peace. I can hear the peace in you, Joyce.
It is so awesome. It truly is. And, you know, I've heard people talk about the glory of the Lord, and I've always kind of felt a presence around me. But when I was in Roswell with Joe, and I met my therapist there, my old therapist, but when that happened, that was the first time that I ever saw the, what is the word, Joe, Shekinah?
Yep.
Did I say it right?
Shekinah glory?
The glory. I saw the glory. The glory enveloped that car. It was so awesome. I didn't know if I should cry or laugh. And then I got a little scared because here was my old therapist, and I didn't know if I should say anything or if I shouldn't say anything. But it was so awesome. It was with me for hours that day. It was the most awesome thing. I have no words. I have no words to describe what that felt like.
Listen, everybody. Go ahead, Joe.
The person she's talking about there, Russ, is the one person that was there in Roswell at the conference that did actually talk to the evidence. And it happened to be the researcher and therapist that her and her family worked with when they were first coming through this experience. And he's a secular researcher and secular therapist, and he worked with them 10, 15 years ago when their family first came out with this. And I invited him to the conference as a speaker. And I told him on Friday when he came in, I said, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. And I brought Joyce over, and he recognized her right away, and he said he hadn't seen her in so long. And I had the two of them spend a day together where he could have a chance to talk with her and see what she was about now, because I had a chance to talk with him first and tell him what my research was about, and he was very interested. And he actually saw a difference in her, the one thing that I hoped the other researchers would have taken a chance to see. He kept saying, you're so different, you're so different. So he saw that there was a change in Joyce from what he had worked with before. He saw the evidence. The one researcher that took the time and actually did and experienced the evidence for what it was.
Excellent. Hey, I've got a question on the chat boards here, and here's the question. Before you answer it, I'm gonna set it up this way. The question is from one of the chatters here is, clearly they want to know, are aliens demons? First of all, Joe, let Joe Jordan, a researcher, let him answer first, then we're going to let Joyce answer that question. Joe, are aliens demons?
Well, that gets a little technical on the wording, I guess. If you go to Ephesians 6:12, and it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realm." That tells us who these entities are that we're dealing with, that our fight is against as believers, as human beings, actually. But when you start looking at the ability of these entities, what the experiencers have shared with us on what these entities are able to do, and what the other researchers have been able to share from their stories, what these entities have been able to do, you see they are angelic in nature. They have the same abilities as God's angels in the Bible, to be able to manifest into the physical, to be able to eat, to be able to do everything, to appear as a human being. If you look at that, then what I would say we're dealing with is an angelic being, a fallen angel. And this is something that really perturbed them at the conference when I said that, because I put a name on the entity. And they hated that, because they said that as researchers, we should always stay open to what we're looking at. Well, I don't have to stay open anymore, and neither do any of these experiencers that I've worked with. They've gotten their answer to what this is all about. They've gotten their disclosure, I should say, because they're always talking about disclosure. Well, these people have gotten their disclosure. They know, they have an answer for what this is. And it looks to be the hierarchy of this demonic realm. There are lowly demons, but as you look at demons in the biblical sense, it always seems to be in a form of possession. But what we're dealing with is demonic influence and demonic deception of a highest scale. This is the biggest deception that's ever been put on humanity. And that, I would say, is having to come from the elite, which are the fallen angels themselves.
And Joyce, the beings that, you know, came and visited and came through the wall, things like that, were they good or were they bad?
No. No, they were bad. He pretended to be my friend and told me he was. But they're not. They lie. They always lie. And they'll always lie. You can't believe them. You can't. Because if you do, then you're done. You're absolutely done.
Wow.
I listened earlier to part of you guys talking, and I will admit, and I can admit now, that there was a point in my life before I met Joe and found the Lord, thank God. But I contemplated suicide. I really felt that it would be better. I felt it would be better. But of course I don't feel that way now. But at the time I did, and it's really sad whenever I look at so many other abductees out there who don't know. They really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, I had to search. I did, because I didn't believe what I was being told, even from my therapist. And I think the world of him. I really do. Because I really think that if it hadn't been for him, then I wouldn't have really searched. I would have just believed what I had been told. But I went searching for the truth. And I think you have to really want the truth. And then once you find it, you have to be able to let everything else go. I mean, you have to believe. Because if you don't believe, I don't think you have it. You can say that you believe, and then you go back and you still mess with what you supposedly came out of. I don't think he really came out at all. I really don't. I've seen people in that community do that. I've watched them do it. I'm a good little watcher now. I watch people, and I watch what they do and how they react with things. And I've seen other people do that. They don't close those doors behind them. They leave them open. I close my doors, and I keep my doors locked. I won't ever do that again because I came so close.
You came close, and Joyce, listen, folks, that's again, the reason Jesus came. This incredible spiritual transformation, we call it salvation, it's an experience of the living God coming into our hearts. It's God, the Creator, redeeming us, and this is what Joyce has experienced now. This has brought an end to the terror, to the heartbreak, to the point of wanting to take your own life and get rid of your own life. Folks, this all comes from that dark side. Joe Jordan mentions Ephesians chapter 6, and you're going to read about how the idea of, again, spiritual battle that's against not only believers, but in the world as a whole, there are fallen angels. There's an entire, you know, Satan and the demonic side, and they're there to deceive. They're there to pull us away. The original message in Genesis 3, you know what it involves? It involves, number one, to push God out of the way, push his word out of the way, and to accept a new stream of spiritual information from another entity. And that's what we're seeing, really, in this phenomena of abductees. Joe, would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm putting up on the board right now, again, the information individuals can get. It's the DVD where Joe shows this incredible, bombshell down there in Roswell, as far as telling them that Jesus Christ is the answer, having Joyce down there and many others that share the same message. Folks, do you hear the same message? Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, the God of Heaven, you know, comes to release you from these incredible, horrific, I see this bondage too, Joyce. I think that it's a bondage that controls your life, and you've been liberated.
It does control you. Yeah, it does control you. It controls everything you do. Controls your family. Actually, you lose control. They've taken control. You've lost control. I had no control. I had no control of myself. My family was out of control. Totally. You want to talk dysfunctional? We were as dysfunctional as you could get. My son almost committed suicide twice.
Wow.
He's doing very well now. Very, very well. He says that he has found Jesus. I don't think he's closed all his doors. I watch him, and I talk with him. I talk with him, but I can't push him. You cannot push them. You have to want this. I learned that myself. I had to want it. I wanted to be free, and I am. They have to totally want to be free.
Well, I think that's a tremendous message. Joe and Joyce, we have another caller calling in tonight. They might have questions for either one of you. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Great. Can you tell us your first name real quick?
My name's Nicole.
Nicole, great. Do you have a question for Joe or Joyce or a comment?
Well, I have a comment. Was also one of those people that were on the stage in Roswell.
Great.
And I just wanted to say that I can also testify that the name and authority of Jesus Christ does stop this. And
wow.
Hi, Joyce. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Nicole.
Well, Nicole, that is what was it like standing on stage in a place where probably you knew most of the folks there didn't believe the message yet about Jesus, but yet you had to stand there and give a testimony? What was that like?
it felt good, you know, because I really, I wanted to let people know, you know, that this does stop, and I just wanted to be part of that, you know, because it's so important.
Well, I tell you what, Nicole, I think that, man, I would love to hear even more of your story. You know, Nicole said it very clearly that Jesus Christ stopped. And listen, it's not just the stopping of the abduction. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, he comes with a love to embrace us, to bring us to the final answer, to bring us back into connection with the living personal God. You know, many times I say God is immeasurable, God is infinite. But let me tell you something, God is absolutely relational. This is why we see him coming in human flesh. And unlike anyone that you can ever talk about in human history, unparalleled in what he spoke, how he lived, how he was born, what he did at the cross, folks. And what occurred at the cross was one of the biggest spiritual powers, if you want to call it that, breaks, because it involves the issue of sin and our separation from God. And it involves you and I being lost and not even having the Spirit of God dwell in our lives until we hear the message. Jesus said one time, and I think that Nicole, Joyce, and Joe would all know this, and as experiencers, listen, for those out there, even Wiccans and Satanists and others that dial in, you've experienced supernatural things. Ghost hunters have done that. But there's also the experience of the living presence of God through Jesus. John's Gospel, I want to challenge you again, John's Gospel chapter 7, everyone, go read what Jesus said in the midst of a big religious festival, kind of like Roswell maybe. And he said, I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their inmost being would flow. Now he said rivers of living water, and write down a few verses, it's a reference to God the Holy Spirit coming into your life, giving you a new birth and a new life and the gift of eternal life. Folks, this is the final answer. And I mentioned tonight a number of individuals and people that I, as a human being, I would say that I love George Norrie, I love Art Bell, I love Richard Hoagland, I love Mr. Dolan, and all the rest of them. But if you don't have the ultimate answer, you can't give the ultimate answer. And that's important. That's important for all of us to understand. Is Nicole gone?
I think Nicole's gone.
Oh, you're still there? Okay. We've got someone else on the air tonight, too, don't we? Someone new. Caller, are you there?
Hi, Russ. It's Guy Malone in Roswell.
Guy Malone, my goodness. Well, listen,
how
man,
you doing, Guy?
I would...
Hi, Guy.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Everjoy.
Oh.
Nicole.
What a privilege tonight. This is absolutely... Listen, I'd love just to hug you, man, because it's been a long time since I've seen you. It broke my heart not to be able to be there this last summer. But listen, I knew the voice immediately. Guy, talk to us. Tell us about things.
Well, I had to call in. We're listening here in our house, and I, too, was one of the people on stage. You've read my book online, I'm sure. We've talked a few times on email. But even as an adult, after becoming a Christian, I've had, that I remember, at least three attempts of trying to be taken again, floated out of my bed or out of my body. I wasn't even sure which. But once I became a Christian, I knew to resist and just use the name of Jesus Christ, that I was not dealing with an alien phenomena with superior technology, that it was a matter of prayer and that this was a spiritual experience. And I'm just one more person to back up what Joe is saying, that it is a spiritual experience. You're dealing with fallen angels. And as you well know, Jesus Christ gives his believers authority over all the power of the enemy. So I hope it gives someone else out there hope that if something like this is happening to you, whether it's disguised or lying, telling you it's an alien or a fairy or whatever else the next generation's lie is, that the name of Jesus Christ is still more powerful.
Wow. You know, we can almost, you know, it's almost like a church. We can all say amen. I mean,
amen.
Joe's online.
Amen.
Joyce is online.
Amen.
Nicole's online. Guy's online. Listen, this is kind of I'm excited because we prayed heavily for tonight. We wanted this to be, you know, a clear message, and let's see how God will providentially use it tonight throughout the, you know, next week. I want to say it again to all the listeners tonight, hundreds during the week that will download, make a CD, take it to your pastor, take it, you know, and begin to talk about how Christian, you know, ministry, evangelism, and reaching out to individuals. You could hear in Joy's voice the pain she went through and the peace she now has. Joyce has said it. Joe has said it. And Guy Malone from Roswell has clearly told you again. Listen, I
and
think
Nicole.
That and Nicole and actually let me just, I don't want to miss somebody else because it's a friend of Joyce's. Lynn has just written in. Joyce, talk a little bit about the fact that when they take you, these entities, you know, dark side stuff, they tend to try to gift you with psychic ability. What do you say about that?
That's true. They did. And I renounced that. I don't know if you'd call it a residue of it or not, but I still, at times, can sense and see the demonic presence of whatever they are. But sometimes, not always, but sometimes I can tell right away if there's something in the room, if I'm at someone else's home or just being close to someone. I can sense it and sometimes see them. And their forms are different. I mean, I see different entities, for lack of a better word, I guess, on what to call them. One I've seen reminds me of a jackal. Looks like a jackal and walks on his hind legs upright like a human.
She's seeing them without their guise on, the alien guise, which is just a facade that these entities wear. She's able to see them now for who they truly are. And what she's dealing in now are the gifts of the Spirit.
And, I was just going to mention that.
Yeah, and the enemy gives these people a counterfeit of the gifts of the Spirit. They give them so-called psychic abilities. And it's also a seduction to keep them hooked because they think they're special, that they have these abilities. And that's a hard thing for them to let go. But what she's working in now is gifts of the Spirit, where she can discern these spirits when she's working with them.
I believe that. I believe that. I really think that that's what that is. That I can see them like that. I guess I don't really know how to describe, but...
I think it's important, Joyce. Yeah, I think it's important because for on this side of the fence now, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. The Spirit of God gives us perception. See, all kind of people that I deal with, you know, they do clearly have spiritual experiences that are coming again from finite dark spirits, demons, so forth, fallen angels. And they do get abilities, but in coming to Christ, the gift of the Spirit of God's given, and then as Joe's mentioned too, there's giftings, charismatic giftings. Joe, Guy, Nicole, Joyce, let me ask you this. Anybody can, you know, just come in on this. When it comes to the gift of discerning spirits or the gift of word of knowledge, things like that, what are you experiencing or what do you have to say about those in kind of exposing, detecting, or dealing with these fallen angels?
I would say that those are the two gifts. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom are the two that seem to be coming at us most. To where when we're working with people or we're working in these conferences, that we do have that gift of discernment, and we get a word of wisdom, word of knowledge to go with that to be able to work with these people. I've actually worked with that myself. There are other gifts of the Spirit that a lot of other churches put more focus on, but these are the two that are the most important so that you're able to discern what is happening and what the situation you are in.
Very good. Very good. Guy, anything to say about that?
I agree with Joe, essentially, that if you also add discerning of spirits to that, then you can almost always tell if the Holy Spirit gives you the knowledge, when a person is in your presence, you can almost feel or sense or see somehow an oppression on them. And I see that, you know, sometimes you see it on the street if you're passing by a bum or someone else that's just really been down on, you know, life has been down on them. You've seen that, I'm sure, in ministry to homeless and stuff like that. We see it a lot at these UFO conferences.
Wow. Listen, folks, I know that, listen, we're coming down to the point. I wish we even had longer. We might even set up something down the road here to do a 2 to 4 hour session, because I want the folks to listen. And again, Joe, all of you, hundreds are going to download this during the week. And I really want this time for them to, you know, download, make CDs, take it to their pastors. Listen, for some who are, you know, you don't have an answer, you know that you're into a lot of spiritual things. Once again, all of these individuals, Guy is saying it, Joyce is saying it, Nicole is saying it, Joe is saying it, and I'm going to say it too, that God has an answer. It is found in the person of Christ. And listen, even tonight, the spiritual experience, salvation, is the living Christ coming into your life, and everything is brought to you. Forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, knowing God personally, knowing what's going to happen after this life, finding protection, finding the authority of God in your life and the protection of God in your life when you know Jesus. So for a lot of the New Agers and, again, other maybe abductees listening tonight during the week, I've put up on the board, the chat boards, I've put up on the newsletters, Joe's site. I just now got a hold again of Guy's site, and we're putting the links up for that. Listen, get a hold of their websites. Take a look at the incredible information they have, DVDs they have. I've got a number of them, and Joe sent me the ones that the bombshell for this Roswell one, the one called Unholy Communion. If you can get that, give it to your pastors, your leaders, and so forth, and say, you know what? We need a conference at our church. One weekend conference could really equip a local church, really set off a few people that might be able to join as a team and delve more into it and be prepared in ministry. Because with Joyce out there and with Nicole out there, listen, they found individuals that could give them and communicate to them the answer, that Jesus is the answer. We've got 7 minutes tonight left, you guys. I want any of you to speak in, to share what you need to share. You're talking to everybody out there. Whatever you want to cry out to them and pour out, go ahead and do it right now.
Well, I'll start. I just want to let everybody know that this doesn't work as a magic word. What we're looking at here is making a personal relationship with the creator of the universe. This is something that cannot be done. A personal relationship cannot be made with these entities. They control you. You are not in any control at all. You give up control. With Jesus Christ, you let him be in control. He will guide your life. You still have control to make choices. This is what this is all about. This is about free will. These entities have come to take you against your free will. God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gives you that free choice, that free will. It's free will to come to him for the truth. And he will give you the truth, and he will set you free.
Amen to that. I totally agree. I couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah, I don't think I can top that either, Russ.
Well, I have to use. I'd like to use one more down in Roswell when Guy had the Alien Resistance headquarters set up down there. He used to keep a sign up on the outside of the building, and it said, "Every knee shall bow." And when it comes to the end, every knee will bow, even these entities. So that's just something to be aware of.
Well, let me say this. With Joe and with Guy here, let me say this. If by the providence of God it was the last time you got to say something to people like Richard Hoagland and Art Bell and George Norrie and many others that are out there in the search but haven't found the answer, come on, you got a few minutes left. Tell them, share with them, plead with them, give a witness tonight.
Guy, that one's yours.
Repent. If I say anything in quick summary, it's that dude or dudess, lady, the Bible has the answers and Jesus is the answer. And most of these secular researchers and just a lot of people out in the world are literally, just like I was before I was Christian, afraid to even crack open that Bible for the answer. I don't know what the fear. The Bible says that the God of this age has blinded their minds so that we cannot see the truth. But I remember the only thing I did was I finally, as a result of conviction, just sort of prayed, but I spoke out loud, okay, Jesus Christ of the Bible, because I didn't want any fakers, but if you're real and if you're really God, then prove yourself to me, show yourself to me. I'm open to knowing your truth. And I just spiritually, mentally opened myself and asked Jesus Christ to speak to me and lead me into his truth if he was the true and living God. And that's quite possibly where the change came for me too.
Excellent. Nicole, any words?
If there's any abductees out there, that Jesus wants to help them and he can help them.
There you go. Well, I think that tonight, an overwhelming witness, clear witness, there's experiences, supernatural experiences out there, folks. There really are. But many of those streams come from very, you know, and I say it many times, it's like dancing on razor blades. Ultimately, you know, you spiritually get bloodied. Are you in touch with the living God? Do you know God personally? This is what God is all about. He's come to us. You talk about visitations. You talk about someone coming to this world. God in human flesh has come to this world. I love the verse in the book of Hebrews. You know, it just simply says in chapter 2 that since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. He came to taste death for all of us. He came to bring us life, bring us peace, as you heard Joyce talk about tonight. So to all the friends out there, thank you for all those who have come in on the chat boards. Thank you to the hundreds that are listening, to the literally hundreds and hundreds that will download directly. And I just feel really urgent tonight to say, here's something you can take to your pastors, leaders, Christians. Here's maybe a conference you can talk to Joe Jordan about, Guy Malone about, and involve them. Involve them in getting the message out. Last 2 minutes, Joe, you have anything else that you want to share tonight? I know that you got the DVD out. I know that you're writing a book. I know that Guy Malone has a book. And by the way, I just got a note. Nicole says this. Nicole is Guy Malone's wife. Uh-oh, somebody told. She has a free ebook on Guy Malone's alien resistance site. So, Joe, tell us what you got. Guy, tell us what you got.
Well, the last thing I'd like to finish up with is that talk that we did in Roswell, the bomb we dropped on Roswell this year, and the fallout is falling all through the UFO community, is that unholy communion, the unwanted piece of the UFO puzzle. You'll see these people you heard tonight on that stage in that video. That is a powerful witnessing tool that you can share with others. Go to the website. You can purchase it there. We have them ready to send out, and it is absolutely powerful for getting this message across. And you'll see the video that shocked the UFO realm. Guy?
Excellent.
Same thing. Go to ce4research.com. That's where Joe's is. And Russ, I just want to, since you said you couldn't make it this year, let you know we've got something cooking up for 2009, too. Invite you and all those that want to be equipped and see Joe and I and Nicole speak in public again. We'll be doing it in 2009.
2009 is coming up, folks. Roswell, New Mexico. By the way, I love the town and a good coffee shop down there that I was told that ministry now has a hold of. Joe was telling me about.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, take a look now at Guy Malone's site. Take a look now at Joe Jordan's site. Get the DVD. Get the materials. Get yourself equipped. And by all means tonight, if there's someone out there tonight, even on the chat boards, many new individuals, Jesus loves you. He wants to come into your life. Listen, the call of God is summoning you to come. You don't want the dark side. You want the living God. Jesus Christ loves you, can come into your life right now. Listen, going to say goodbye to everybody. They're going to shut us down in 4 seconds. Joe, Guy, Nicole, Joyce, thank you. God bless
you. Thank
you,
Russ.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Good night.
Bye.